One. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Our continuing 2024-2025 preseason content. This is our SEC preview show, recording it on the evening of Monday, October 14th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Griggs and John Tytel. Below me, John Stalica. To his sides, David Dorman, and from Bracketeer.org, Rocco Miller back with us again. And this is where we are going to be previewing and going through everything that's going to happen in the SEC conference, now up to, was it 16 teams, I believe, this year.
Yeah.
That makes it a small conference in this day and age.
But, yeah. And Chad, can we take a quick second to say hello to everyone at SEC Media Day? Because I know they're all watching this.
Okay.
On
hello,
the day
everyone
of Media
at,
Day.
At Media Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we are the featured attraction.
We are the featured attraction. I'll tell you what the featured attraction I think in the SEC this year. Rocco, let me start off with you again here. Team that was in the Final Four last year, number two in the preseason polls. You take a Final Four team, you add in the best player from my Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who should have stayed but didn't stay, and Cliff Omoruori. How about the Crimson Tide this season?
Looking loaded, looking very loaded. But I think that's going to be a theme tonight on this episode of the SEC preview. It's probably, I think we've said it 6-7 years in a row now. This league just continues to get more and more loaded for a while now. I think they've had the best collection of head coaches. They have even better head coaches somehow now with Pope entering. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal league. But I think with Alabama, it's easy to pick them high based on that Final Four run alone. That was 3 good weeks of basketball. Again, Tytel and I were there. Very impressed. Grant Nelson and Mark Sears, incredible leaders. Reitzel was actually out for that run for most of it, but he'll be penciled in as a starter. And, you know, of course, depending on some incoming freshmen, transfers, like Cliff Omoruori from your Rutgers team, Chad, and Aiden Holloway from Auburn, another rivalry snatch by Nate Oates there. I think the one thing I have a question on is, you know, Alabama throughout the year last year was up and down, snuck into a 4 seed. You could have easily had them as a 5 seed. Of course, played great when it mattered. But can they put together a consistent year with how difficult of a schedule they play, with 4 newcomers they'll be depending on, 3 until Chris Youngblood's healthy. He's got a broken foot till January. You know, I just think they're still a top 3 or 4 in the league. Easy to pick them high, but I actually think you typically Alabama kind of wants to lose a few games just to, you know, get tougher and stronger. And that's why I'm not going to pick them to win it.
Well, let's not forget 2 years ago, Alabama, I think, was the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. They ended up losing in the Sweet 16. So they kind of switched places last year, get the 4 seed, but make a deeper NCAA tournament run.
Yeah, the Brandon Miller year, and if they had a superior player of the year like that, I would pick it. But I don't see a guy like that on their team here.
Well, Dorman, what are your thoughts about this Alabama team? Because I mean, I've seen preseason publications that have them as a projected national champion.
I love them. For my money, Mark Sears is the best point guard in the country. He showed everyone during the tournament last year what kind of leader he can be and what he did for everyone on the team. I take the coaching staff and their approach to analytics, and I just think it's awesome. I think it's a great combination. Grant Nelson also back. I think he's got a big year coming. I love this Alabama team. I think Oates is, like I said, as good as they come in the country. Top few, very few for me when you come into coaching. And I think they absolutely have everything they will need to make another Final Four run.
Tytel, I've also seen a lot of preseason love for their in-state rivals there from Auburn, though, who have an incredible top 3 players, I think.
Yes, number 11 in the preseason poll. They bring in a McDonald's guy and Tahad Pettiford. Some nice transfers, Jaheim Hudson from SMU, J.P. Pegues from Furman, Miles Kelly from Georgia Tech, and, of course, bringing back the All-American big man, Jani Broom. I think they are legit. I think they can play with anybody. I think this is a good pick for a top 1 or top 2 team in the conference.
What do you think, Griggs? Do you think Auburn's up there with a shot to take this conference title?
I do. If you're asking me to pick between them and Alabama and Tennessee's another team that's that's looking really good. I think that they would probably be my third, but they're not so distant to where it would shock me if they finished first overall. The SEC is absolutely rock star loaded this year. They're one of three or four teams at least that I think are going to end up not even just as protected seeds, but maybe third line or better. This is a fantastic Auburn team. To echo what Tytel just said, they could win this league. They absolutely could.
Yeah. We mentioned the top 25 came out today, the preseason AP top 25, nine SEC teams in that top 25, which is amazing numbers. Stalica, Griggs just mentioned Tennessee coming off of an elite eight run and a number two seed last year. And Zakai Ziegler back for his 300th season, I think.
It's 247.
Yeah, Zakai Ziegler is back, although what's his name? Adu, I think, transferred over to Arkansas. So they've had to bring in some new talent to try to replenish some of their lineup a bit with Chaz Lanier coming in from North Florida. Felix Opara came down from Ohio State, and then they get Igor Milicic Jr. coming out of Charlotte here. So there's still going to be some experience for Tennessee, but they're going to be plugging a few holes early on and trying to plug those holes in the down in the Bahamas, for example, where they have a couple games against Virginia and either Baylor or St. John's. Not going to be an easy task.
Rocco, I got to ask you, you did not seem to want to pick Alabama to win this conference. Was it Auburn or Tennessee we've mentioned already, or are you going somewhere else for the top of this league?
Yeah, I'm penciling in Auburn, and okay. I've got Tennessee winning the SEC tournament, so that way I can split it up a little bit. But I do think Alabama makes the deepest run in March Madness. So there you go. Love for all three. So hardware going.
I think if I'm a fan of the three, I'll choose Alabama in that case right over the other two. But
it's just the way that Alabama navigates their season. Obviously the Brandon Miller year is the one exception. But I think the next team I would talk about or look to is a really strong core with Buzz Williams at Texas A&M.
Yeah, another great team.
and they were a 9 seed last year, but obviously when it came tournament time, they dominated Nebraska and had that absolute thrilling loss to Houston, thanks to the bank shot to send it to overtime by Anderson Garcia. Garcia and six core Aggies are all back, led by Wade Taylor, the fourth, of course, at the guard position. They'll have solid defense, solid rebounding. And then you bring in C.J. Wilcher from Nebraska, who was a key player there. Zurich Phelps was a tremendous scorer at SMU that just gives Buzz another scoring option. And Farrell Payne comes in from Minnesota, not a slouch himself, averaging 10 and 6 in the Big Ten. I mean, that's they have a rock star, solid nine and a good coach to go with it.
Yeah, Uncle Buzz.
I just think this Texas A&M team, they're in a perfect spot because there's so many other big names, big stories to talk about in this league. They're just kind of flying under the radar with a really solid team ready to go to war.
And yet Wade Taylor, the fourth, feels like one of those players that's been around College Station for 10 years.
No doubt.
I think he has.
And Coleman, too. Yeah.
Tytel, one of the two new teams of the SEC this year is the Texas Longhorns. Aside from what they're doing the football side of things, how about the basketball version this year?
I thought they only played football, but yes, apparently they do play a little basketball. 21 wins last year. They almost beat Tennessee in the second round, 4-point loss. Good news, since they're joining the SEC, they get to host the Vols in the conference revenge game on January 11th. Additionally, they face three teams from the Final Four, NC State and UConn back-to-back in December, and then Alabama in conference play in February. They bring in a McDonald's All-American and Trey Johnson, projected lottery pick next spring. They also bring in an All-MVC player in Jason Kent from Indiana State, another All-MVC player in Julian Larry from, you guessed it, Indiana State, Arthur Kaluma from Kansas State, Tremont Mark from Arkansas, Jordan Pope from Oregon State. A lot of big-time players who are great at their previous schools. The reason they needed to do that is because they lost basically the entire team. Dylan Dessou, Max Asemus, Tyrese Hunter, Dylan Mitchell. So a big change in progress, but I think Coach Terry can get it done just because he's got so much talent coming in.
Yeah, one of the concerns for Texas is, I mean, for start, like it's a roster that's been completely turned over. Although they do have some great pieces, Frank Haith, one of the assistants, is that a problem?
puffing.
Okay. Dorman, we've just gone through, about five teams already here, and we have not even discussed probably the biggest news in the SEC. John Calipari leaves Kentucky, goes to Arkansas. Let's start with his new school. How about the Razorbacks?
Well, they're excited. They're ready to rock. That place will be off the charts. That stadium is always exciting, but this year they're going to take it up a few notches. Trayvon Brazil is back. He's one of the few, I think, from that Razorback roster that stayed, but maybe the most talented. DJ Wagner, his Calipari's big recruit from Kentucky, came with him. Those two guys are going to be huge for Calipari. It's year one. I don't think the expectations can be to win this conference and make a real strong run in March, but they're going to want to win. They're going to want to win right away. He did get John L. Davis, the point guard from Florida Atlantic, a stud point guard. Didn't go to Michigan with Dusty May, but Calipari landed him at Arkansas. So I look for between Davis, Brazil, and Wagner, that's a real strong threesome. So I think they can compete. I think I'll see them in the middle of the SEC because I think this conference has championship level teams. I don't think they're there yet, but the excitement and the talent is there and coming.
I think the AP voters probably overvalue Calipari a bit, having number 16 preseason. But I agree with you. I think this is going to be an exciting team this year. Salika, what about the school that he left? What about Kentucky, where it's Rick Pitino's? I'm sorry, Mark Pope is now the head coach. I saw Rick Pitino there this weekend, but Mark Pope is now the head coach.
Yeah, it's funny that there was enough palpable buzz that Rick Pitino made a somewhat triumphant return to Kentucky, but this was again to meet his former captain Mark Pope from the 1996 team that won the national title for Kentucky that year. But at least Mark Pope managed to convince Jackson Robinson to make the trip from BYU down to Lexington. He'll still have a McDonald's All-American and Colin Chandler, who's going to be part of the lineup this year. But he also had to go a little bit of transfer heavy just to get ready for the upcoming season. They get Kobe Bray out of Dayton, Andrew Carr out of Wake Forest, and Kirk Carissa, who's probably doing the Goodwill tour around the entire country as we speak. But then again, there's going to be no shortage of tough games to get Kentucky ready for the SEC, as they'll be playing Duke down in Atlanta. They get Clemson on the road. They'll play Gonzaga at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. And then they also play Ohio State and Madison Square Garden. And then a little bit of a bye game against Louisville at home.
Not quite a bye game this year, I don't think. But Rocker, what do you think about that with this Kentucky team, without Calipari? Do you think Mark Pope will be successful there? Or do you think it's going to be that suddenly 2 years from now, they're all pining for the glory days of Calipari?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I personally think, the way Pope took the job, brought the 96 trophy back out, got the hype going, got the fans behind him, did an amazing job in the portal, in my opinion. This team is loaded with shooters. Bray was almost 50%, one of the best shooters in the country from deep. Chris X shoots 42%+. A couple other players over 37%, plus a guy I loved at Drexel in the paint, and Amari Williams to go with Brandon Garrison from Oak State. This is an awesome roster. They're going to play a fun brand, but like BYU, it's going to be like BYU on steroids, really. I just think, what happens in close games, what happens when they play a really tough defense, like a Tennessee type of team or an Auburn, and they take them out of what they want to do. How do they adjust? The problem is if you're at Kentucky and you get fourth place or worse, or a five seed or worse, or fail to get to a Sweet 16, I mean, the temperature is going to be up after 1 year in this era. And that's where you just don't know. But I think this is going to be a beautiful team to watch play.
Really? Temperature's up after 1 year, really? I would have thought that, why wouldn't it be?
It's Kentucky. To them, it's a risky hire.
Okay, let me finish. I was just going to say, we just talked about how there were nine top 25 teams in this conference. I predict by mid-January, when they go on the road and lose to a top 25 team, Kentucky fans are going to raise the temperature then. I don't even think he makes it 10 weeks before the temperature goes
up. There you go. That's well said. Very well said.
Tytel, Ole Miss cracked the top preseason top 25 as well. A team that had a little bit of trouble last year on defense. They improved that this year?
Nowhere to go but up, I would think. Coach Chris Beard, remember, comes in a first year, he starts 18-3. Everybody's going nuts. Then he loses 9 of his last 11 to finish 20-12. How does he cope with that? He brings in the second highest rated recruit in school history, who's probably the tallest recruit in school history, 7'2", McDonald's All-American John Bull from a little program called Overtime Elite. Additionally, we got an all-SOCOM player in Makeil Brown-Jones from UNC Greensboro, an all-CUSA player in Devon Barnes from Sam Houston, an all-ACC player in Sean Padula from Tech, an all-NBC player in Malik Dia from Belmont, and Dre Davis from Seton Hall. So plenty of talent coming in. He only lost a couple of pieces, Alan Flanagan and Musa Cisse, and he brings back an all-SEC second-team player in Matthew Morrell and two double-digit scorers in Jalen Murray and Jamin Brakefield. A lot of talent, a lot of offense. I'm still not sold on the defense, but you have a 7-2 guy, I would say put him in the middle and hope he can block some shots.
So just win every game 100-98, right?
Yeah.
That'll be fun to watch, at least. I think it will be a fun team to watch, actually, this year. Dorman, also in the top 25, how about those Florida Gators?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Chomp Chomp Gator World this year. Todd Golden, to me, is one of the young stud coaches in the country. He's bringing back senior guard Walter Clayton. I think he'll be a huge factor for this team. He will settle the team. He's got great experience. He's got a stud wing, Will Richard, played a lot of minutes last year. I think he'll be right there with Clayton to help pick up the scoring. Alex Condon, another great athlete, I think breaks out this year. I think look for Alex Condon to have a big year from the Gators. I also believe they brought in Florida Atlantic transfer Elijah Martin, who I think is also a very nice piece for Golden and this squad. I think he gives them a little – I like his defense. He'll give them hopefully a little scoring. And he'll play defense. I think these four guys for Todd Golden, if he can find a few other shooters or some nice guys off the bench, I think you can have a big year from the Florida Gators. I think they could be top two or three in this conference if things work out for them this year.
I'm sure Rocco, because Rocco likes to pick the teams. Right. We're going to say for the end of the show to win the conference, so he's probably with you there. but Griggs. Griggs, Mississippi State was in the NCAA tournament last year. They do have Josh Hubbard back. How about this team this year? They're not one of those top 25 teams preseason. They did get some votes in the polls, though.
Yeah, I think that they're going to take a step back from where they were a year ago. I don't know if they'll make the NCAA tournament or not. The other issue that they're going to have is that everybody that we've talked about so far, what is it, 7-8 teams? Is really,
nine,
really damn
nine good. Teams nine, already.
Nine. We've talked about nine teams, and each of the nine are really, really good and probably a lot better than Mississippi State. So even if they are as good as they were a year ago, what do they do against those nine teams? Do they get two wins, three wins? Maybe they knock off a few at home. I don't think they're built to keep up with the top half of this conference. Having said that, the top half of this conference is unbelievable. I know nobody knows how good anybody is yet, but I don't ever remember in all the years we've been doing this, looking at a league and thinking, oh my God, there's eight teams that could land in the top half of the bracket.
I think it's interesting that the SEC this year, because I think we have those nine teams, and then we kind of have this Mississippi State thing. And then I just look at the rest of the conference and I want to hold my nose, quite honestly. But Salika, South Carolina Gamecocks were a sixth seed in last year's NCAA tournament. One of the big surprises, we held our nose at them in the preseason. We thought they were going to be awful. Any chance that magic comes back again this year?
I would have thought a lot higher of South Carolina had Michi Johnson not left for Ohio State. They're still going to have some decent pieces in Colin Murray, Boyles, and Miles Stute are going to be some leftovers from last year. You've also got a top 50 recruit in Cameron Scott, who's also going to be part of the roster, along with transfer Nick Pringle from Alabama. But we'll see early on as to how well South Carolina is going to be. They go to Assembly Hall to play Indiana, and they'll play Xavier and either Michigan or Virginia Tech down at the Fort Myers tip-off. So we'll see if South Carolina was a one-hit wonder or whether Lamont Paris does have something going down in Columbia.
Yeah, and we kind of start looking at the rest of the conference here, and like I said, holding our nose here. Rocco, of the remaining teams we have discussed, Missouri, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, LSU, is there a team there that you think may have something this year?
Well, I think Vanderbilt's a fascinating team. I
Well,
love
hey,
what.
well, first of all, Rocco, if they beat Alabama and Kentucky back to back like they did in football, they're going to be set, aren't
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Especially a road win at Rupp, that'd be substantial for the resume. They might squeak in. Now AJ Hogard, of course, the big prize out of the portal, coming from a lot of experience at Michigan State under Tom Izzo, has to sit out game one. No big deal. They're playing Maryland Eastern Shore. I think they'll survive. But they also bring in a key player from a great Cornell team last year, a good shooter in Chris Manon, to help man down the team. One of the few places where a Cornell guy would want to go, basically the Harvard of the SEC here in Vanderbilt. And Jason Edwards, one of my favorite players in the American, comes in from North Texas. You get some other, solid reinforcements like Grant Huffman from Davidson, a couple good Virginia Tech transfers in Tyler Nickel and MJ Collins Jr. It just goes to show you when they're coming from leagues like the ACC or even Kajani Wright coming from Andy Enfield's USC roster, just how substantial the NIL is in the SEC. You would imagine maybe Vanderbilt on the lower end of the NIL stick in this 16-team mega conference, but the reality is they still have the resources to pull in guys like this, and it speaks to the depth of the league. And I just love what Byington's built. So bringing in, even having Jalen Carey there coming in from James Madison with him, I think will help. And bringing a lot of his staff from JMU will help as well. And I just think this team's got a really big arrow as the season goes on going up.
Well, the big question, of course, for Vanderbilt is if they pull a huge upset at home, do the fans carry one of the baskets down to the river and throw it in,
I hope so.
like they do the goalposts?
I think if it's Alabama,
But
it would be pretty fitting. Yes.
yeah, I just want to say that everything Rocco said was spot on, and there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. And this is perhaps the 11th team in the conference.
Right.
Talking
That's
about
why I
you
have
guys, Mr. Tytel, Oklahoma, the other new team in this
them.
conference. Porter Moser on the hot seat here. Very seriously on the hot seat.
Great question.
I hadn't thought about that. I think he's a good coach, and I think he gets a little breather in terms of if you're going to throw him into this heck of a conference. I understand you're throwing Texas in, and they're supposed to succeed, but I would hope the administration gives him a little breathing room. He's bringing in a lot of guys, not from major programs, but from mid-majors. Bryson Goodine, Fairfield, Duke Miles, High Point, Jaden Jones, Long Beach, Kobe Elvis, Dayton. So I think that you're going to have growing pains in Norman, but I still believe in him as a coach. So I would hope he's not on the hot seat.
He has yet to take Oklahoma to the tournament.
Which is
Yeah,
kind
and I
of
think that's
And
ridiculous that.
I agree with everything Tytel said.
Yeah.
It's just crazy that he has yet to go to the tournament after what he did at Loyola and made those great runs in March.
Yeah, and that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I know tickets are getting more and more expensive, but to not take any of your players to the NCAA tournament is just a nice BS.
Salika, Missouri, it can't be worse than last year, can you?
Well, they are going to be getting a nice scoring option in Marcus Warwick, who transferred from Northern Kentucky. Although going up to the SEC, you're probably looking at about two tiers a lot higher than what he's going to be used to going up against. So he's not going to be going up against Wright State and Oakland anymore. He's going to be going up against the cream of the crop in the country. But how he does with returning players like Tamar Bates and Caleb Grill. I mean, they also get Mark Mitchell coming over from Duke, but this was a team that used to have a once proud rivalry with Kansas, but that's probably going to be another one-way contest this year.
Ooh,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, I think they're losing streak. I think they've lost what 19 in a row heading into the season. That's going to end very early on, at least. But that 0-18, the 18 game SEC losing streak may not
Yeah,
end very
that is in full force and may continue all the way until 2028.
soon. Dorman, how about Georgia? Anything there, or should we just move on?
I think it's going to be a rough season in Athens.
Good observation.
They just this as everyone has said, this conference is so loaded. You have to be so talented and so good just to hang around the middle. I just don't see Georgia having the pieces to be in the middle. So unfortunately for the fans in Athens, I think the Bulldogs are towards the right by the bottom of this conference this year. I just don't see the scoring punch, and defensively, I can't see them getting the big stops. They give up a lot of points.
And Rocco, that leaves LSU.
It does, yeah. I mean, it's tough because McMahon's had a couple rough years to start his career there. You know, you would hate to see a hot seat situation there 3 years in, but the reality is they expected a lot more.
They're going to go get Will Wade back, maybe? I don't know.
They'd like to.
Never say never, man.
McNeese is better than LSU, and I don't even think it's close. Anyway, continue, Rocco. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, but that's the thing is, like, even if you think LSU's coming into the year 16th out of 16, they're still, you know, I mean, you're still rolling with some darn good players. Cam Carter coming in. You got Tyrell Ward and Derek Fountain and Jalen Reed and Mike Williams all back. It's an old team. Their first seven guys are juniors or older, except for Williams at a sophomore. So, you know, Sears can really score at the UT Martin guy, 43% from three, but that's a huge jump from the OVC at 5'11" to the SEC where it's a man's league. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not picking it, but I do think, again, like, they're another one of these teams, all 16 of them. There's enough depth and enough age. They're old players that if things click early, they can get rolling. And that's what makes it so hard at this point in the preseason.
Absolutely. And I guess on that note, that is 16 teams. So like we do with all the conferences, I'd like to do is run through each of you. Let me know who you think is going to win the conference, how many bids you think the league is going to get, and any other final thoughts you may have on the SEC. And Stalika, let me start with you this time.
I think this is going to be the conference where I'll probably say there's going to be 10 teams that end up going to the NCAA tournament overall. I mean, just the SEC tournament alone is probably going to feel like the round of 32 on up. If I had to pick a team, I probably would say Alabama ends up winning the SEC crown. But as far as a final thought, and I'm going to go back to Alabama, you look at one of their star players, Grant Nelson. They are going to have a game at North Dakota in December as a homecoming for him. Not at the Sanford Pentagon, mind you, where they seem to have like a lot of neutral court games, although that's down in South Dakota. But this will actually be at Grand Forks at North Dakota's on-campus arena. So it will be a homecoming for Nelson in that one.
All right. Tytel.
I think 10 bids is a legit pick. I could even see an 11th somehow, although it would be tough. And it could be 8 if a couple of them stub their toe, but I think it's a good pick, so I will push it. Alabama's conference to lose, and I think that their scheduling is going to be a big factor. We got Purdue, Illinois, UNC, Creighton, and the Players Era Festival of Houston, Notre Dame, Rutgers. Even if they go like 3-4 in that gauntlet, those three wins are going to be looking fantastic come March. Kudos to Coach Oates for scheduling that.
Yeah.
So for the final thoughts, nothing jumps to mind. It's going to be weird to see John Calipari in Arkansas only because I'm so used to him not being in Arkansas. And I think when they play Kentucky, it's just going to feel weird. I'm excited to see it. It's just going to feel weird for a while, I think.
I'm just concerned Alabama may not be ready to face a 16 seed in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They could probably use a few more bye games.
Yeah.
Dorman.
I'm going with 9 SEC teams to make the tournament, and I'm going with the crew. I'm going with Alabama. I love the Sears, Nelson, Stevenson, we've all discussed. Mix them with a top 5 recruiting class, and I'm on the tide. I like this Alabama team. My final thought, and I'm going to compare it to the Big Ten because that's what we've done so far. And before, I don't want to ruin any of the great Hoops HD preseason podcast coming out later this week and next week. But this conference has power. Final Four championship power, something I don't think the Big Ten does. It's hard for me to find a Big Ten team I'm comfortable saying will make a Final Four run, and I definitely don't think they have a national champion. I could see multiple of SEC teams being able to do that this year.
I agree with that completely, actually. Just a quick note here. We mentioned that Arkansas-Kentucky game. They meet once during the regular season. Circle it Saturday, February 1st at Rupp. Rocco.
Yeah, I echo what Dorman's point was about the power of this league. I think it creates an angle, perhaps, to get a 10th bid. And what we talk about a lot during January through March is how many bites of the apple can you actually get? So if you have four teams that are top 10, I think we feel good about three of them between Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama. If like a Texas A&M gets into the top 10 or an Ole Miss or an Arkansas, one of those extremely talented teams becomes a fourth team, then you're giving bubble teams in this league more chances to eat that apple and build a resume of their own. Now, of course, one of the big fine lines you're going to have to walk in a league like this is that 500 barrier. You don't want to be under 500 in the top three quadrants. You don't want to be really far below 500 on the road. But that usually means an extra bid or two can come when you have that many chances to beat a top echelon team, because then when, of course, they're compared to another bubble team, they're not going to be able to match that level of a win. I'll digress, but I'm going to go with the three. Auburn winning the regular season, Tennessee winning the SEC tournament in nearby Nashville, Alabama making the deepest run in the NCAA tournament. And then outside of that, I've got Texas A&M, both Mississippi schools, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky. And if they do get a 10th, I'll take Texas. I like Texas's pieces, but not 100% sold on Rodney Terry still. Really curious to see what happens down there. And I agree, like the next six are too big of a stretch, but I do think Vanderbilt in South Carolina would be my next dark horses.
I'm going to take Alabama to win this conference. I love the top of this conference. It would not completely shock me if three teams for the Final Four all came from the SEC this year. That's how strong I think the top of this league is. I also think the bottom of this league, there's a lot of weakness down there, and I'm actually going to go lower teams. I'm only going to go eight teams out of this conference. I'm not sold on Mississippi State, and I think one of Texas, Florida, or Ole Miss also misses out here. Not completely. I think those are the three teams. I'm bouncing back and forth between the three of them, but I'm only going eight in the field. But all eight of those are Sweet 16 caliber good, if not better, as well. Griggs, I'll let you finish off the show here.
I think I'm going to go with nine teams, which is the same I picked for the Big Ten. One of the things is that I agree with you and some of the others in saying that there is quite a big gap after between the top half of the league and then the bottom half of the league. And I think that it's big enough to where they sort of beat up on them and run away from them. As far as getting a ninth, or as far as getting more than nine, could a Vanderbilt, a South Carolina, I just don't think they're good enough to win enough that's going to get their overall record close enough to get them all the way in. Could they step up and maybe beat a Florida or an Ole Miss or a Texas A&M at home? Maybe, but I don't think they can win those games on the road, and I don't think they can beat Tennessee, Auburn, or Alabama, or Kentucky, or Arkansas. I don't think they can beat them anywhere. I just think the top half is so much better than the bottom half that you're not going to see many wins from the bottom half to get the 10th or 11th team in. What was the other question?
Final thought?
Okay. That's my final thought.
Okay.
All right.
I don't have to buzz you this show. That's good. On that note, first of all, on behalf of my cat back there, second of all, I guess it means Kentucky is winning this conference. I do want to thank everybody for joining us here for the SEC Preview Show. We will be back with plenty more preseason content. You can find it all up there in the season preview tab, including the Big Ten show that we recorded earlier tonight and the rest of the conferences we're recording the rest of this week and going into next week. But on behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, John Slica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.